Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska, and this is today's Bible class. A short Bible study, about 13, 14 minutes, every day, 7 days a week, keeping us in God's Word, kind of keeping our feet grounded, if you would, in the Word of God. And that's important for us because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So the more we're in God's Word, the more our faith develops, the stronger it becomes, the more it grows. Help people in your life grow in their faith. Help them to develop strong faith by getting them into God's Word, by sharing these studies with them every day, through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. Make that commitment and start sharing today. Help somebody grow in their faith. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We're talking about some realities of death. Some realities of death. Well, the first reality that we have established is death itself. We're all going to die physically. There's no getting around that. There's no getting away from it. There's no hiding from it. There's no, you know, saying, okay, I've conquered death, you know, in somehow in our physical body. No, that's not going to happen. Now, again, the Hebrews writer wrote in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed for man, that is for all of mankind, all of humanity, to die once, but after this, the judgment. So it is by God's design that this physical life is not going to go on forever. We're going to die physically. The second reality is the second part of that verse, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. But after this, the judgment. So our physical life is not the be-all, end-all, so to speak. Eternity is waiting for us just on the other side of our last breath, physically. Just on the other side. So we need to be ready for that day. We need to be ready for that day. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last several verses of that chapter, and that is the great resurrection chapter. And it is talking about, in fact, in detail and at length, about that very fact that this physical life is not all there is, and it should be just a preparation period for us to get ready for eternal life with God in heaven. Now, some people say, but do you mean everybody's going to be in heaven? No. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that most people are on the wrong pathway through physical life, and they're heading toward eternal condemnation in hell. But that is a physical, that is a spiritual reality as well. So after this, the judgment. So at judgment, as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, then we will all give account to our Lord and Savior for how we have lived our life in this world, whether good or bad. And our Lord will judge us based upon how we will have lived. Now, don't you know, think you can go into that particular setting and start negotiating, start complaining, you know. No, our physical life, our period of preparation for that day will be over. And so we will either hear something along the lines of, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. And we will be ushered through those pearly gates of heaven onto the golden streets and all of the glory and bliss and wonderful blessings of eternal life with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in heaven. But Jesus said most people, that's not where they're going to be. Not because God doesn't want them to be there. God wants all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But we have to make that choice ourselves. We have to turn away from our sinfulness. We have to come to Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for forgiveness and redemption, salvation, eternal life. Remember again that one verse of Scripture that shows both ends of the spectrum. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6 and verse 23. Now, we have to make up our mind which will be our reality. God is not going to make anybody choose the wrong pathway through life. We make the choice ourselves every day. He wants everybody to be saved in Christ and to be with Him in heaven for eternity. But He did not create us to be robots or automatons. He did not program us to not be able to disobey Him. He created us in His image with a soul, a spiritual being within our physical bodies. But He leaves that choice up to us. We understand morality. We understand righteousness. We understand the opposites of those, immorality and unrighteousness. We understand godliness. We understand ungodliness. We understand goodness and we understand evil. And we are the only beings in all of God's creation for whom or for what, if you're talking about animal life and plant life, and for which that is a reality. Only humanity was created in God's image. And as such, we have a greater responsibility as to who we are and what we are. So it is appointed unto man to die once, but after this, the judgment. That's the second reality of death. Judgment is coming. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last several verses, Paul says, hey, there are going to be some who are still living when the Lord comes again. But even still living, he says, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and those who are still alive on that day will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And our physical body will be done away with, and we'll be given a spiritual body. And that's eternal. You go back to Matthew chapter 7, and you drop down to verses 21 through 23. And there Jesus says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so the pathway through life, and you connect this with verses 13 and 14 in Matthew 7, where Jesus says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are who are going down that pathway. What you combine those two texts of Scripture, verses 13 and 14, with verses 21 through 23 in Matthew chapter 7, and you come away understanding the only way that I'm going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ as I walk with Him in faithful obedience to God's teachings on a consistent basis. I have to live my life by the will of the Father. And that's a life through which God loves me and wants the best for me. I need to prepare for that second reality of death while I'm still alive and not facing that first reality, which is physical death. Mark Twain said, "Let us endeavor so to live that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry." That's a great statement. That's a great challenge for us, that people will be sorry that we have passed from this physical life. I believe Abraham Lincoln said along the line, live in such a way that you honor your name, your family name, that your family respects you. Well, to live in such a way that people truly are sorry to have seen us pass. And even the undertaker would be sorry to see us go. That's an interesting prospect, isn't it? Interesting prospect. I've told the story many times through teaching and preaching that I had the occasion one time many, many years ago to stand at the graveside of a man who was being given a pauper's funeral. He was going to be buried in the pauper's field at that particular cemetery. Now, that's a section of a cemetery that is dedicated to people who either pass without the funds to bury them, their family doesn't have the funds, or perhaps even more so, people who die without identity, or that are just they cannot afford, and their family cannot afford a normal funeral and burial, and so they're put into a plywood box, so to speak, and they're buried in that particular part of the cemetery, and there may not even be a grave marker there. I remember the mortician and the maintenance man at that cemetery talking about how there were bodies buried on top of each other in caskets, but buried on top of each other in one gravesite. Well, to me, that's sad. Now, why was that man being buried in a pauper's field, and why was his funeral service? Why was it a pauper's funeral? I was the only one there, other than the mortician and the maintenance man from the cemetery, the one who took care of making sure the grave sites were dug. That man had lived such a worldly life, such an ungodly life, that he had turned off even his wife and his family around him, and ultimately had actually been shot to death out of self-defense, because he was coming looking like he was about to kill them. How sad that is. How sad to have lived such a life, such an ungodly life, that so alienated him from everybody around him, basically, that at his funeral service, there were only three men there, and that was all, and only one knew him. I actually had known him in the past, but no, the other two men, they did not know him. What a sad, sad funeral. What a sad setting. What a sad reality that would be. But he had set that up himself by the way he had lived his life. Now, again, what did Jesus say there? Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The first reality of death is death itself. We're all going to die. It is appointed, unless the Lord comes again first. The second reality of death is the judgment. And we all need to be getting ready for that day while we're still alive in our physical bodies and with our soul in this physical existence, this world. Are you ready for that day? Are you getting ready? Let's pray. Father, help us to live by your teachings so that we can be assured that we will be ready for that day when this physical life will be over for us, and we will stand before our Lord and Savior at judgment, at the beginning of eternity. Please forgive us and hear our prayer, gracious Father. In Jesus' name, amen.